Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. In this evening's programme, we'll be touching on a range of matters, including bovine TB, hedge cutting, and greenways. Later, I'll be speaking with Brendan McLaughlin, the recently elected Vice Chairman of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, who is also the County Representative on the IFA's National Animal Health Committee. But first, Francis Burns is Donegal's representative on the IFA National Environment and Rural Affairs Committee. He's just attended its most recent meeting, and he told me about the need for farmers who are towing trailers with jeeps to know exactly what they are legally permitted to haul.
Yes, Chris. We're led to believe, you know, that ball hitches on the back of our jeep is able to carry 3.5 ton, and yes, that is correct, but all too often we then think that because that's able to carry 3.5 ton, we believe that the jeep is able to do that also. There's a lot of vehicles on the road that are not able or are not capable, they don't have the capacities of carrying that weight. So farmers do need to be careful with that. They need to check the total weight that the vehicle can carry, and as well the total weight that the trailer can carry. And sometimes when you look at it there, you'll see tri-axle cattle trailers or tri-axle builder trailers. The heavier the trailer is, actually the less that you're going to get on it. So you have to just do a wee bit of thinking before you do go out and buy a bigger trailer.
And unfortunately, some people may find out to their cost the trouble that they're in only maybe when after an accident or something like that.
Oh, that's right, aye. But we all want to endeavour to be road legal and have our equipment in good order and ready for work. Such as like the new test is coming in now for tractors on commercial use. This test is coming in for tractors over 40 kilometres per hour, that's above 40, and this is for non-agricultural tractors which would be running on white diesel. But in IFA we would be advising farmers, you know, to have your tractor up to that spec anyhow, whether you're going for a test or not. You know, safety is paramount, and we're looking at the amount of deaths in Ireland and associated with machinery. Safety is of absolute paramount, you know. The Gardaí would be, and the RSA would be looking a lot at the roadworthiness of the vehicles, tractors, tyres, lights, mirrors, clean windows in particular. You know, a lot of slurry going on there, and ground conditions maybe a bit challenging in places, and windows get very dirty. You know, if they can see you, you can see them.
Yeah, and I think we heard at the meeting tonight that there were incidents, I think it was last summer in the Castletwin area, quite a few people stopped, and it could be contractors as well. So, you know, if you're taking the risk, maybe you should think again.
Ah, well, that's it indeed. And I suppose the Gardaí and the Road Safety Authority have a job to do. They have policies and procedures to implement. And from an IFA point of view, we have to promote our members to have their equipment in roadworthiness standard. And you know, that's just really, there's no half measure, Chris, you know.
Something totally different that was raised tonight was the greenways. There's a lot of money being put into them. There's something in the region of 13 million for this cross-border one from Derry into South Inishowen, and much of it along former track beds of the old Donegal railway system. There will be some concerns amongst landowners, you know, about proper consultation and planning and rights of way and trespass and everything. Greenways have been very successful in some parts of the country, and I suppose the hope is that we can learn from the positive stories down south, and there has been also some negative ones.
Yeah, that's correct, Chris. And you know, the local greenway, the Inishowen Greenway, that's been partly funded from Northern Ireland also. And yes, there's a lot of positives, but there is negatives as well. And from IFA, we need to be there for our members, our landowners. And they must come first, because they are being disrupted in the construction of these roadway greenways, and also the ongoings of them, with people going on and leaving gates open and different things. But as we say, there is positive aspects to it. There has been a proposed route, and I do stress proposed route, from the Ennistrom Greenway, and it was put out there. Farmers are of the interpretation that this is the exact route that it's going, but I can't highlight enough that that's not the case. So we are we're ongoing with meetings with them, and hopefully at our next county executive we'll have a fairly comprehensive report on their plans moving forward. But definitely I think there's a lot of positives there that can be taken out of, and if you could approach it with an open mind at the outset and take it from there.
Part of the route that has been seemingly identified is along the former track bed. Is that in state ownership, or is some of it in private ownership?
Yeah, it's a lot of it's in private ownership as well, and lots of the old tracks would have been covered over by other laneways through farms and places possibly built on as well. So the old railway line is not going to be the be all and end all for this route. So there is going to be there's going to have to be ins and outs with it there.
Because we heard of stories in Galway of these greenways going through dairy farms and splitting them right through the middle, and that's the last thing that anybody wants.
Oh, that absolutely, Chris. On the Environment Committee, we had a speaker in with us who was directly involved with the Greenway in Galway, and they were looking to plough straight up through the dairy farm, and this farmer was going to have to basically stop the cows from, if there was people coming walking out the Greenway, that the people was going to get right of way, and that just can't be anywhere. The dairy farm was there beforehand, and they then mentioned compulsory purchase, and on a neighbouring farm that they were diverting the Greenway through the farm yard, which is totally unacceptable. That a farm yard is a working place, yes, we live in farm yards, but that is a place of work.
So there's a lot of European money behind this. Will there be a set rate or some sort of template there, like you get compensated for pylons going through your lines? At what stage are we at?
Well, that's really part of our what we're meeting now with them about, is to see what way is this money going to be allocated, and what way is the maintenance being done, what way is the insurance working out. So as regards to putting an exact figure on it, Chris, I can't do that at this stage, and I don't know how soon we'll be able to do that.
Francis Burns, Donegal's representative on the IFA National Environment and Rural Affairs Committee. On now to something quite different. Brendan McLaughlin is the Donegal representative on the IFA's National Animal Health Committee, which held its first full meeting of the year in the past few days. He's been telling me more about some of the items that were on the agenda, and I began by asking him about the latest bovine TB figures and the ongoing links with badgers and wild deers as carriers.
They've come up on issues with that, but we're not 100% guaranteed they're the main issue. I'll just give you a rundown here on what herds have. Donegal has 5,375 herds, and there's roughly 5,300 of them tested every year. We have 117 herds restricted in Donegal, and that's the end of last year, 2016. But we are fairly good on TB in Donegal compared to other counties, like Wicklow and other counties in South Ireland were a lot worse than us. So our regime hasn't been here, but there's a lot of things happening out there. We have a lot of deer here, and apparently they're saying, I don't really know if this is right or wrong, but they could spread TB.
And that's a big problem in Wicklow, apparently.
In Wicklow as well, a very big problem in Wicklow, because they're talking about the cull.
Yeah.
You know, I think the culls are a lot less than what they're breeding into. They're multiplying every year more and more rather than the cull is. And Donegal, we have deer here as well. But there's no guarantee that they are spreading the TB. You know, and also the badgers is the other problem as well. And the set's been taken out there and tested too. I think there's 6,000 badgers been taken out last year, and about 11% of them have come up positive for TB. So that's happened there too. And I suppose farmers have to be always aware of what's going on in his own farm and why he buys his own stock and whatnot. But this TB is a very, very big issue. It's costing millions and millions to the taxpayer, and also costing the farmers.
And they had pilot projects on the badgers and culling them around the country. Is that still underway?
That's still on the way. They are doing that there, and they're also doing different types of tests on them. As a matter of fact, I think they've started vaccination program to see how that's working out. And they're also doing blood tests, TB, now to see what results they get back right. compared to the vaccination they give them for the TB. And there's a lot of things happening there in TB, but all my life there's TB, and it's happening everywhere. Even humans got TB back years ago, but not now. It's all.
But overall, Donegal, compared to the national average, we're not doing too bad.
No, we're doing fairly good, fairly good now.
But
there's a lot of things there could be talked, and restrictions is the biggest problem farmers have. If you're down with TB here in Donegal, and you're restricted from buying in cattle, I suppose that's part of the problem. A lot of farmers actually, that's an income issue as well.
Yeah. And any sign of the length of the restriction you mentioned there, 60 days, there could be movement to 30 days?
Well, they're talking about the movement of 30 days, but that's up in the air yet, but farmers will be pushing for that because at least 60 days is a long time, 2 months to farmers. And then if you have a reactor on the farm, the longer you leave it there, the 60 days goes further on. So it's very important, those issues. And also the big problem was that farmers now, if they're having a hair test, they make sure they don't dose or do anything with the cattle 2 months prior to the hair test, because if you had an animal went down in the hair, the animal wouldn't be taken away. It is taken down because the antibiotics or whatever was on it, the dosing would be still there on it to 30 days or the 40 days, whatever time the retention period is on the dosing. So that's a big thing when you're doing a hair test, make sure you don't do shells, you're not caught at the other end of the scale. Because the longer you get that TB reactor lifted from the farm, the further your test goes. So you have to be always on your guard all the time.
And another issue that came up, the hedge cutting, and there's new legislation going through, and for the tillage man, implications there?
That's another big one. The tillage man can't trim their hedges inside the barley fields and the crop fields to the 4th of September. But now we're trying to bring this forward to the 1st of August for tillage farmers only, and men that would be receding land as well, anything is ploughed, to the 1st of August. And this was pushed forward on a 2-year trial basis to see how it's worked out. But nothing has happened yet. Hopefully it will happen. But this is all about the wildlife and whatnot and the birds' nests. But you know, this last few years, farmers couldn't cut their hedges because the seasons was all changed, the weather was that wet. They couldn't go in with hedge cutters to cut in September, November, pushed on to the spring of the year. February, they had to be stopped again, the 1st of March, and allowed to cut hedges. So we thought maybe common sense prevail, bring it in a month earlier. The birds have actually gone into the hedges, but I don't know what.
And be it climate change or whatever, this is one of the difficulties when you have legislation and dates and then circumstances change. We have a time lag to get the legislation changed.
It's the same with everything, even you put out your slurry. You know, common sense will prevail in a lot of this carry-on that's going on. That's totally ridiculous what's going on, because you put out your slurry according to the weather, and you cut your hedges at the time of the year when there's no birds. And there's no birds actually on the 1st of August, but I could be wrong. Maybe someone else will come up and tell me I'm wrong. But I think common sense prevails there the whole way through. If it's raining, farmers don't put out slurry. They don't want it washed out of the way because that's full of nutrients. And the fertiliser is so expensive now, they're using all the slurry as a nutrient rather than fertiliser.
Brendan McLaughlin, Donegal representative on the IFA National Health Committee. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steer base €4, bulls U and R grade €4, cows O grade €3.35, R's €3.50, and sheep. Well, the lamb price update, spring lamb, €6.20 to €6.40, prices of €135 a head. Hoggets, €5.20 to €5.25, ewes, €3 to €3.20. Well, that's it for tonight's programme. Many thanks for listening, as always. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.